Chapter 6 Drilling for Oil. That Thunderbolt L train had trembled the room a half dozen times. Dawn had broken through a smeary sky. Fingers of pale gray light poked through the frayed window shades. She was lying in my arms. I saw flakes of brown blood beneath her chin. Her heart against my side was sprinting, like a wildcat's facing the hounds. I could hear the clip-clop of an ice huckster's horse. The creaking wagon wheels were in rhythm to his pitch. He sang,
"Ice, man, ice! 100 for 20, 50 for a dime. Keep your watermelon cold and your pork chops fine. Invite old Joe up to Chitlin's just any old time. Ice, man, ice!"
I thought, even the ice man is starving down here. I gotta get down up there on that stem. Off Preston's rundown, that stem must be a son of a bitch. I gotta down her there. It's where the scratch is. When I run down to her, I have to be cool and confident. I can't falter and tip her that I'm still going to school. I gotta really remember the get down rundown I hustled from those pimps in the joint. I said, "Phyllis, Daddy's been out there casing those streets. It's like walking in a river of tricky crap. If I had any other bitch but you, I would say she couldn't go out there and get me some scratch. Baby, I got a lot of confidence in you. I know no stud or con bitch can sell you a pig and a poke. In fact, I would stand in the halls of Congress and swear that you would be too busy getting scratched to even listen to bullshit. Am I right so far about you, or have I overrated you?" She said, "Daddy, I'm a big girl now. No nickel slick bastard can steal me from you. I, you know what, you, and always will. Honey, I just want to be your little dog and make you $1 million. When we get rich, maybe you won't mind if Gay, my daughter, lives with us. She's only 2. She's so cute and friendly. You'd be crazy about her. My aunt in St. Louis takes care of her." I thought, I was sure sap making like a pimp. Here I had her a week, and I was flat-footed. I hadn't heard about a crumb crusher. Worse, I hadn't given her a deep quiz. I really knew nothing about her. It had been the one rundown from the joint I'd goofed. I had been satisfied with the shallow rundown from that sissy barkeep. The pimps in the joint had said, "There ain't nothing more important than what makes a new bitch tick and why. You gotta scrape her brain. Find out whether the first joker who laid her was her father or who. Make her tell you her life story. If she can remember back in her mammy's ass, good. Fit all the pieces together. Maybe then you'll know if she's a 2-day package or a 2-year package. Don't try to play 'em in the dark. Quiz 'em into a crack-up if you have to. Wake 'em up from a dead sleep. Check the answers you got with what you get." I said, "Girl, your rap is right on the scratch. It's you and me against the world. I'm gonna make a star out of you. We are going to get rich as cream. You gotta hump your ass off in those streets, baby. As soon as we get a big bundle, you go cop the kid. Now forget about her until we get in shape. I don't want anything in your skull but those tricks out there. Now listen carefully. I want you to do nothing but work the street. Stay out of the bars. Don't drink, smoke gangster, or use anything while you're working. Your skull has to be sharp and clear out there. Otherwise, you could lose your life, and almost as bad, my scratch. Believe me, I'm not yeasting it. I want you to memorize everything that happens while you're working. I want to run down every night after you knock off. Maybe some stuff players will set you up like tonight and take you off tomorrow night. Keep those crack-wise niggas out of your face. If I see you rapping to a Jasper broad, I'm gonna put my foot in your ass. Play for cruising white tricks. Spade tricks are trouble. They all want to make a home. You're black and beautiful. They can't resist you. They are the freaks, and they got the scratch. Ask them for 100 and take 10. You can go down on the price. You can't go up. Don't go to nobody's pad for a double saw or over. Take them to the Martin down the street from where we are going to move. Flip out of wheels as much as possible. Flip them fast and crack more scratch for overtime. Your name is Mary Jones. I got enough BR to raise you fast. You're not a thief. I don't need a bondsman or lip now. You don't have a sheet. You see a young girl out there, square or whore, pull her. Be friendly to her. Build me up. You know, tell her how smart and sweet I am. Don't let no bitch pull you. This family needs some whores. Don't bring no junkie bitch to me. Now, is there anything you don't understand? She said, No, Daddy, I dig everything. You can wire me if something turns up I don't dig. Daddy, I am so proud of you. You are so clever and strong. I feel so safe being your girl. I'm going to be a star for you. I had told her all I knew. It was just pimp garbage. What the 90% know to tell a whore. What she really needed to protect herself in those terrible streets were daily rundowns for as long as she was my woman. How could I run down the 1,000 crosses she'd face? All I knew I'd gotten from the pimps in the joint. They were only fair pimps from small towns. None of them had the guts or savvy for this rapid track. The runt and me were a pure case of the blind leading the blind. I was bone tired. I had to be fresh for our debut. I said, Sugar, let's cop some dyes. We got a hectic night coming up. Oh, I forgot. Some louse put the heist on your slum. Don't worry. With what you got to offer, I'll have enough scratch soon to score for the real thing. This is our last day in this flop house. I copped us a jazzy little pad uptown. Sleep tight, baby puppy. She said, All right, Daddy, I'm going to sleep. I wonder how Gay is doing. When I woke up, I thought the runt had scalded me with hot grease. I was in a flaming sweat. My ticker was smashing inside my chest like a wrecker's demolition ball. That cunning joke of playing God had conned me again. I had whipped my poor mama again. The runt's frightened big eyes almost touched mine. That puckered gash looked like she had grown an extra cat. She was saying, Daddy, Daddy, you all right? It's your baby, Phyllis. Damn, you had a bitch kitty nightmare. Was the heat chasing you or something? I said, No, baby, as a matter of fact, you were in trouble. You had done a stupid thing in the street. You let a nigga pimp con you into his hog. It turned out he was a crazy gorilla. He was trying to cut your throat. I saved you before he croaked you. Dreams often carry warnings. So, bitch, stay out of those pimps' hogs. She said, Daddy, I'm looking for white tricks and hogs. That's where the long scratch is. Ain't no nigga pimp gonna put my ass in a sling. I'm too slick for that okie doke. You're not going to get salty with me about a dream, I hope. Daddy, I ain't going to bullshit out there. It was 5:20. By 7 o'clock, we had moved to the Blue Haven. The runt went for the pad. First thing, she lifted the phone off the hook to see if it works. I said, Tell your tricks to call you here. She laid the bearskin and freaked the joint off with her lights and other crap. Except for the fake stars, it was a fair mock-up of her pad where I had copped her. She went to the street to get down at 8. I had told her to work just the block where we padded for a week or so. I went to the front window. 10 minutes after she got down, she broke luck. A white trick and a 37 Buick picked her up. I timed her. She had racehorse speed. She was back on the track in 9.5 minutes. A black pretty broad could sure scratch up a white man's itch fast. I watched her scratch 3. I showered and got as pretty as I could. I made an urgent skull note to cop a hot vine connection. I also needed a gangster and cocaine contact. I got the elevator. I left the key at the desk. I had told the runt to check her scratch past 40 slats into the toe of my tan Stetsons. I got into the Ford. I waved to the runt on my way to the roost. It sure was a thrill to have a young, fine bitch humping for me. I parked across the street from the roost. I dabbed a sponge into a box of Sunglow face powder in the glove compartment. I made my face up into an even glowing tan. I got out and crossed the street toward the roost. It was 10:30. The sky was a fresh, bright bitch. This first April night had gone sucker and gifted her with a shimmering bracelet of diamond stars. The fat moon lurked like an evil yellow eye staring down at the pimps, hustlers, and whores, hawk-eyeing for a mark, a cop. I felt the raw tenderness of first April winds lashing at the hem of my white alligator. I felt the birth stirrings of that poisonous pimp's rapture. I felt powerful and beautiful. I thought, I was still black in the white man's world. My hope to be important and admired could be realized even behind this black stockade. It was simple. Just pimp my ass off and get a ton of scratch. Everybody in both worlds kissed your ass black and blue if you had flash in front. I was 6 storefronts away from the roost. He stood in the center of the sidewalk. I looked down at him. He was a foot shorter than the runt. He looked like a black baby who had taken ugly pills. His head was the size of a giant pumpkin. His voice was a squeal like a clappy joker makes when the croaker rams a sound down his dingus. He squealed,
"Shine him up, hotshot. If I had your hand, I'd throw away mine. Get on big time. Shines ain't but a dime. Shine him up."
I looked down at my stomps. They could stand a gloss all right. I followed the pointing, gnarled finger to the dwarf's open-air stand. It sat at the mouth of a gangway between two buildings. The red fringes of its tattered canvas top rippled in the breeze. I climbed into the chair. The dwarf was slapping polish on my Stetsons. A thin stud with at least a half a grand in threads on his back took the other chair. He was wearing silver nail polish. He was reeking with perfume. A gleaming black custom Duesenberg eased into the corner in front of me. The top was down. My peepers did a triple take. A huge stud was sitting in the back seat. He had an ocelot in his lap, dozing against his chest. The cat was wearing a stone-studded collar. A gold chain was strung to it. He was sitting between two spectacular high yellow whores. His diamonds were blazing under the streetlight. Three gorgeous white whores were in the front seat. He looked exactly like Boris Karloff in blackface. He was rapping something. All five of those whores were turned toward him. They were listening and paying attention like he was God giving them a pass to heaven. He could have been running down a safe place to hide because the world was coming to an end. I said, "Who is that?" The dwarf said,
"You gotta be from out of town. That's Sweet Jones. He's the greatest nigger pimp in the world."
The thin joker said, "That spotted cat, Miss Peaches, is the only bitch he cares lives or croaks. Shit, them whores you pinning ain't but half the stable. If they got nigger pimps in outer space, he's the best of them too. He's gonna take them whores into the roost and pop some. He's lugging 20 G's in his rays. Ain't no heist man crazy enough to stick him up, though. He croaks niggas for his recreation." I couldn't believe what I saw. This was only 1938. Those Duesenbergs cost a fortune. He must have been the only black pimp in the country who owned one. My peepers jacked off just watching him and those high-powered whores. It was as exciting as maybe Christ making his encore. The dwarf had shined my stomps. I gave him a buck. I sat there and watched Sweet Jones and those whores get out of the Duesenberg and walk toward the roost. The black spotted cat slinked beside him. I thought, tonight I got to cut into him. I got to be careful so I don't blow him. The cut-in has to be in the roost. I'll go in and cook something up in there. I got off the stand. I passed Poison's problem whore. She was sitting beside a joke and a red hog. She had a bottle of gin and her jib turned straight up. As I neared the roost, I saw old Preston trying to shoo two marks into the Greek's joint. Just as I turned into the roost, he bucked his eyes and jerked his thumb at me. He was tipping me Sweet was in the roost. I nodded my head and went in. It was an off night for the combo. The jukebox was grinding out Pennies from Heaven. The joint hadn't crowded yet. There were maybe a half dozen couples in the booths. Sweet Jones and his hoes were the only people at the log. They were in the center. The cat was licking her paws beneath Sweet's stool. I sat at the log near the front door facing him and the stable. The pretty Mexican broad was standing in front of him. Sweet was buying the house a drink. She served his party. She glanced at me. She remembered my drink. She brought me a Planter's Punch on Sweet. The floor waitress loaded a tray from the log and served the couples in the booths all on Sweet. I sat there studying Sweet. He had to be 6'6". His face was like a black steel mask. Not a flick of emotion played over it. He kept smashing the heels of his brute-sized hands together like he was crushing an invisible throat. Even at a distance, it made me edgy. I guess it kept his whores on the brink of peeing on themselves. If he had smiled, maybe they would have dropped dead from shock. He sure proved pimping wasn't a charm contest. Those whores lit his cigarette. They took turns feeding him sips of his coke. They fought to ram their noses up his ass. I froze. One of the white broads was whispering in his ear. Those unearthly gray eyes of his in the ebony sockets were staring at me. I could hear the thud of those meat sledges. I thought, Christ almighty! Mama darling, I hope my double hasn't put the muscle on this broad for some snatch or scratch. Please don't let this broad bum finger me. He slid his terrible pearl gray peepers off me. I saw him pound the bottom of his glass against the log. The Mexican broad expressed to him. He was rapping to her. She was nodding her head and looking down the log at me. My Stetsons on the stool rung were slamming together like the heels of a flamenco dancer. The jukebox was sobbing Lady Day's beef about her mean but sweet man. I wondered if I'd see the run again, and if not, how soon she'd get another ass kicker. The couples in the booths were bug-eyeing the arena. It was maybe like the Circus Maximus. The doomed Christian, me, pitted against the king of beasts, him, plus the ocelot. The Mexican broad came slowly toward me. Her face was tight and serious as she stood before me. She had pity in her peepers. She hated capital punishment. She said, Mr. Jones wants you to come to him pronto. She turned and walked away. I staggered to my feet. I started hoofing that 1,000 miles to Mr. Jones. On the way, I dusted off the 175 IQ in my skull. I got to him. The cat snarled under the stool. It pasted its yellow eyes on me. I jerked my eyes away from the cat and kept them riveted to the floor. I was afraid to look into Sweet's glowing peepers up close. I knew I'd crap my pants. He whirled around on his stool, his back to the log. I glued my peepers to the tapping tips of his needle-toed patent leather stomps. I flinched at each crash of his huge hooks. He whispered, Nigga, you know who I am? Look at me when I'm spieling to you. That teletype in my skull hammered out the escape hatch. It read, For this maniac, you gotta be just like a Mississippi nigga. You gotta pretend he's a white lynch mob leader. You gotta con him, but be careful. Don't get cute. Keep your nose square in his ass. Jeff it out all the way. I said, Sure I know who you are, Mr. Jones. You're the black god of the sporting world. Ain't a nigga alive unless he's stupid and deaf that ain't heard your fame and name ring. The reason I don't look at you is because I remember what happened to that sucker in the Bible that snitched a peep. His whores broke out into gales of laughter. Miss Peaches wasn't a lady. She broke wind and grinned. Those patent leather toes stopped tapping. Could I be selling it? He reached out and grabbed my chin. He held my head up and cupped it in his giant hook. I flexed my belly to take up the slack in my bowels. Those deadly gray slits almost slugged me into a dead faint. When he opened his jib, I saw spidery webs of spit for an instant bridge to his fat lips. He said,
"Little nigga, who are you and where you from?"
"You kind of look like me. Maybe I laid your mammy, huh?" I neatly sidestepped his booby trap. I said, "Mr. Jones, I'm nobody trying in your world to be somebody. I was born right here in your town. Could be my mammy went for you. What bitch wouldn't? If I was a bitch, I'd give you some scratch to get some." He said, "Nigga, you like fine white pussy? This dog of mine wants you to lay her. I give my whores what they want. You gonna lay her for a double saw?" My skull raced out of the warning. "Fool, watch your ass." I said, "Mr. Jones, I don't want no kind of pussy unless it hangs on my own whore. Mr. Jones, I'm a pimp like you. I don't want nothing but some pimp scratch. My principles won't let me turn no reverse trick. Mr. Jones, I ain't no party freak. I want to be great like you. I ain't never going to amount to anything if I screw up the rules of the pimp game. You the greatest pimp on earth. You got great pimping by the rules. Would you want a poor, dumb pimp like me to jump out at the start?" His freak white woman pouted at his side. She begged Nero to flip his thumb down. She said, "Mr. Jones, make this pretty punk freak off with your baby. You don't let nobody say no to you. Since he's dreaming he's a pimp, it will be wild kicks for me. Force him, Daddy. Force him. Show him who's boss. Sick Miss Peaches on him." He shoved her aside. The boa constrictor uncoiled from around my chest. I saw contempt paint over the skull and crossed bones in his peepers. I drew a deep breath. He roared,
"You little pissy green-ass nigger. You a pimp? You can't spell pimp. You couldn't make a pimple on a pimp's ass. Nigga, I'll blow your head off through that ceiling. Don't let the word pimp come out of your jib in my presence. Now get out of my face, pussy. I ought to stick my swipe in your jib."
The cat slithered from under the stool. She crouched on her belly and stared up at me. I wasn't David. Good thing I wasn't. I was sure mad at the kooky bastard. I grinned and fished a fin out. I tossed it on the log and dragged tail out of the door to the street. I was glad I hadn't stacked that slingshot switchblade in my pocket against that .38 Magnum stuck beneath Goliath's belt. The door smacked Preston a hard shot in the forehead. He had been peeping through a slat in the door blind. He rubbed his head. He looked scared. He said,
"Kid, I told you he's nuts. You keep it up, a groundhog will be your mailman. To play it safe, you better give me your mama's address. I gotta know where to ship your corpse. Where you going now?"
I said, "Look, Preston, I didn't cut into him. He cut into me. Hell, I ain't no head shrinker. I couldn't handle the maniac. I'm splitting to the Ford to think." He was clucking his jib when I walked away from him. I collapsed onto the Ford seat. I was stinking from the fear sweat in the bar. My pants were soggy. I saw the white broad that was burning to freak off with me. She was holding the roost door open. Sweet filed out. His whores strutted out behind him. They walked behind him to the Duesenberg. A tall, brown-skinned joker with a gleaming head of processed hair got out of the red hog. He was the gutty stud I saw pouring that gin down Poison's girl. Sweet Stable had gotten into the Duesenberg. The shiny top joker and Sweet were rapping on the sidewalk. They pounded each other on the back. They looked like boon buddies. Miss Peaches stood lashing her tail at Sweet's side. I almost leaped out of my hide. It was Preston banging on the car window. I unlocked the door. He slid in. His peepers were ballooning, looking past me to Sweet on the other side of the street. He was sucking air like a mackerel on the beach. He was shoving a rusty owl head .22 pistol across the seat. He was trembling, like the 0 second had come to assassinate maybe FDR. He said,
"Kid, you sitting here hating him, ain't you? You despise his guts. I saw the way you was looking at him. A bastard like him ain't got a right to live on God's green earth. Do yourself and the world a favor, kid. Take this rod and walk sneaky-like down that sidewalk while he's rapping to Glass Top. Stick the barrel in his ear and pull the trigger. Then quick, blow the cat's brains out. It's easy, kid. You can do it. Every nigga in the country will love you. Kid, it's your chance to get great. Go on, kid. Do it now. You ain't never gonna get a choice of your chance."
I said, "Preston, I'm not hip to the murder game. I don't want to get hip to it. I don't want to blow his brains out on that sidewalk and waste them. I want his brains to work inside my skull. You're getting old, Preston. You can't even dent the mustard. He screwed you around 1,000 times worse than me. You can't lose for winning. Why don't you be the hero and croak him? Look, Preston, take that Tommy gun and split. I like you, but give me a break, huh? I've had a funky night and my skull needs a change." He said,
"Kid, you think I ain't got the guts? He ruined me, kid. He destroyed me. He's just another nigger. He ain't no bear, and that cat ain't no tiger. I'm going over there right now and cash them out."
Old Preston sprang out of the car. I watched him all the way. That game leg had him tilting from side to side. He looked like one of those dowdy Spirit of 76 jokers on the posters around the 4th of July. I wondered if he was tanked up with enough rot-gut moxie to really fold Sweet's dukes for good across his chest. Preston was on the other side of the street, only 20 feet from Sweet and Glasstop. His mitt was rammed into his Benny pocket, keeping the rod warm and ready. Preston's shoulders and back were stiff and straight. Sweet's back was toward me. He was facing the sidewalk. I thought, the old dingbat may do it. He sure had reasons. Sweet put the hurt to him all right. Will there be much gore? Will Sweet croak right away or flop around on the street like a chicken with his head wrung off? Will Miss Peaches leap up and cut Preston's throat? If Preston croaks him, I'll have to cut into poison. I'll bleed his skull. He will be the top pimp. Maybe a couple of those 10 whores Sweet's got will go for me. I'd be some kind of son of a bitch and young pimp in a Duesenberg. Preston came abreast of Sweet. He had slowed to an anvil. I could see his yellow mitt easing out of his pocket. He got maybe 3 feet past Sweet and stopped. He was going to do it. He was coming back for the fatal flank sneak. At that instant, Sweet turned his buffalo head and looked down at Preston. Miss Peaches stiffened. I saw a black cavern open in Preston's toothless yellow face. The chicken-hearted bastard had been chilled by those awful gray orbs and the cat. He was grinning at Sweet. He scooted his empty hand out of his pocket. Preston might have made it if Sweet hadn't turned those lights on him. Old Preston bowed his bald head. He walked toward the Greek's joint. His shoulders were sagging. His back was a stooped slouch. Old Preston had missed his choice chance at glory. I just sat watching Sweet and trying to plot a way to cut into him. It looked hopeless. Finally, Sweet got into the rear seat of his Duesenberg. The cat leaped into his lap. One of the white broads roared it away. I saw Glasstop pat his greasy dome as he turned into the roost. I thought, That glossy top stud with a face like a pretty whore's might be the tunnel to sweet. I took my sponge out and freshened my makeup. I got out of the Ford and walked to the Roost. The joint was getting crowded. I was lucky. There was an empty stool in the middle of the log. The beautiful Joker was on a stool next to it. The memory of that four-slat tip out of the fin sent the tamale skidding to me. I sipped my planter's punch. I drummed my Stetsons against the stool legs. Hamp's Flying Home was rocking on the joint. A pack of white broads had a booth behind me. They looked like they had been to a PTA meeting. Their perfume sent a melody of sexy odors through the joint. They were flirting their cans off. I guess they were writers. They were maybe doing urgent research on the sexual habits of the black male. I wasted no time. I was afraid the pretty Joker might split. I snatched my eyes from the excited pack in the mirror. I turned my head toward him and touched him lightly on the sleeve. He was sure a wrongdoer, all right. He frogged at least 3 inches off his stool. It was like I stabbed him in the butt with a red-hot poker. He turned his shocked face toward mine. His silky, long-lashed eyes were popped wide in alarm. He had panicked, like maybe a cute nun caught naked in the priest's bedroom by the Mother Superior. I said, "Geez, excuse me, Jim. I didn't know you were in deep thought. I'm sorry I hit on you like a square. My name is Youngblood. I'm a friend of Preston's. You must be the fabulous glass top. It would be a boss honor to buy you a taste." He patted his shiny mop and said, "Yeah, man, I'm glass top. What's your stupid story? You young studs sure ain't got no finesse. It drags me to get hit on like that. When somebody touches me, I like to be digging it and facing the stud, you know? I ain't salty. I dig you ain't nothing but a punk that needs his coat pulled to social polishing class. I ain't no lush. You can spring for a coke if you want. Tell her to sugar it heavy." The Mexican broad spooned sugar into a glass and brought his coke. He stirred it with a straw. He raised the glass to drink. I noticed ugly black tracks tracing the veins on his light brown mitt. He was a junkie for sure. He would know where the cops see, and probably gangster for the runt. He was also a pal of Sweets. "Maybe I could make a two-bird killing here," he said. "So you know Preston, huh? What's your racket? You a till tapper, or maybe a burglar, huh?" I said, "I've been knowing Preston since I was a kid. I used to buff his stomps when he was pimping. I'm no till tapper or burglar. I'm a pimp. You must be a pimp yourself. I saw you rapping to the best pimp there is." He said, "You a pimp? I ain't never heard of you. Where you been pimping, in Siberia?" "Sweet ain't the best pimp there is. I am. Pimps are just like cars. The best known ain't no real yardstick to the best car. It's like I'm a Duesenberg and Sweet's a Ford. I got all the quality and beauty. He's got all the advertising and all the luck. Sweet's got 10 whores, I got 5. These whores in town ain't hip to how great I am. When they wake up to me, I'll have to fight 'em off with a baseball bat. How many girls you got?" I said, "I only got 1 girl now. I just got out of the joint, but I'm going to have 10 in a year. This town will hear about me. I was thinking about cutting into some top pimp like Sweet. I'm not stupid enough to think I don't need to learn 1,000 times more about pimping than I know. I also need connections for girl and gangster. I'm just a kid in darkness waiting for some brain to help light the way." He said, "Stay cool, Blood. I just remembered I left my kitty's slammer open. I'll be back after I lock it up." I looked in the mirror and saw him go out. He turned left towards the Greek's joint. I knew he was going to Preston to check me out. When he walked out, that panting pack behind me turned as one. It was like Cary Grant had walked out. The jukebox was moaning gut bucket blues. Some joker was singing, "Going down slow. Don't send no doctor. Doctor sure can't do no good. Please write my mother. Tell her the shape I'm in. I'm going down slow." I remembered it had been my father's favorite record. He had kept it spinning on the Ritz Victrola. I remembered his shocked face there in the doorway when he discovered it, and everything else gone. I wondered if he were alive and still in town. If I ran into him, I sure wouldn't know what to say to him after all these years. I saw the silk chicks crane their necks toward the door. I switched my eyes left in the mirror. I saw Glasstop coming in. Those chickens were clucking when he sat down. I said, "Jack, aren't you afraid those silk broads behind us will rape you?" He said, "Shit, if you stripped and searched all of them, you wouldn't find a C-note. They ain't nothing but square housewives. They sick of all that half-ass screwing at home. They'd lay in the swindled chump niggas out of their youth. They know enough on each other to keep all their jibs sealed. Ain't a chance for their husbands to tumble to what's going on. So what if some white joker who knows them made this scene and saw them? Every one of them's just slumming out with the girls. Jack, what they got is a secret sex club." I said, "Top, I'm afraid. I sure wish I had a snort of girl. Can you score?" He told me, "Blood, I believe you're a down young stud. I got news for you. You can score right with me. I got the best girl and boy in town. Even my reefer's dynamite. Blood, I love you. You got heart. How much stuff you want?" I said, "What's the bite for girl? A fin? A number 5 cap? A 16th for a C, a piece for a grand. I got a cozy pad around the corner. There you can fly to the moon, pimpin' buddy." I said, "Top, let's split to your pad. If your girl is mellow, I'll maybe go for a C note." I threw a fin on the log. The Mexican showed me her choppers like I was her dentist. 3 square black studs were standing rapping to the purring pack in the booth. We went out and got in Glasstop's hog. My foot struck a bottle. I looked down. It was the dead gin soldier Poison's whore had sucked dry. The hog shot from the curb like a red torpedo. Eckstein's syrupy cottage for sale oozed from the hog's radio. I thought, I sure gotta hurry and get my ass into a hog at least. I'll cop a Duesenberg in maybe a year. Geez, it must be 1:30. I should have checked on the runt. My luck is changing, though. This glossy top joker is my end to sweet. He lived in a plush apartment building. It had all the jazz. Technicolored lights spotlighted the exterior. Fake rubber plants stood tall in the foyer. We took a chrome and brass elevator to his second floor pad. Thick red broad loom carpet wall to wall in the hall. Fresh black and gold paint sparkled the walls and ceilings. A Polynesian-type dream took our bennies and my lid in a small silver-mirrored entrance hall. My feet sank into the soft lavender carpet. I could hear the deep-throated boom of a console phonograph. The ink spots, lead tenor was parfaying, whispering grass. I followed Top and the olive-tinted beauty into the womb-like living room. Double heavy lavender drapes covered the windows. Not a beam of street light or sunshine could violate this pimp's lair. Top and I sat on the long gray sofa. It had cost him a big buck to lower the ceiling with the silver lame fabric. The only light came from the glass-topped cocktail table. It gurgled and flashed a pale blue light. A score of yellow, red, and orange tropical fish streaked inside the aquarium, built 6 inches below the tabletop. 2 gray rubber hoses at each end of the tank ran down into the lavender carpet. It was a slick drain-off and fresh water gimmick. The broad was almost naked. She stood wide-legged in front of us, like a bellhop waiting for orders. The table's blue light behind her silhouetted her Coca-Cola bottle curves inside the flame-red shorty gown. I saw a 4-inch cone of jet hair between her thighs. She had a rare cat with that extra dimension. I unglued my eyes and looked into her face. She had the dreamy eyes of a freakish Mona Lisa. He said, "Bitch, bring a couple of outfits and some caps of girl and boy. Oh yeah, blood, this is Raydell." That awesome round butt of hers jiggled as she wiggled past me. The big white phonograph in the corner was booming out a novelty tune. When your pipes get dry, then you know you're high. Everything is dandy. You truck on down to the candy store, but you don't get no peppermint candy. Then you know your body's scent, and you don't care if you don't pay rent. Light a tea and let it be, if you're a viper. This pretty gaust is sure pimping his ass off, I thought. He's a crazy gouster if he thinks he'll con me into banging any H. I'm not even sure about shooting the girl. Of course, I can't come off like a hayseed either. I said, "Jim, you sure ain't jiving. Your layout is a son of a bitch." He said, "I got 5 bedrooms here. These whores are on the fast track, dig front and flash. You can't pimp here unless you got 'em. Jack, this C I got ain't going to let you split for a while. You may as well shed your threads and get in the groove." The broad brought the outfits, a spoon, and a dozen white and brown caps. She put them on the cocktail table. She slid it closer to us. The water tidal waved in the tank. The fish darted in a frenzy. She stooped and started unlacing tops, shoes. I reached into my pocket for a C-note. I had peeled it off from my crotch stash before leaving the haven. He said, "This flight's on me. It's a sample. You can cop what you want later." We stripped our clothes off to our shorts. His were candy-striped silk. I felt like a bum in my white cotton jocks. The broad draped our clothes on each arm of the gray overstuffed chair across the room. She didn't have any of my scratch in her mitt when she came away. She stood next to me. The phone on the end table beside him jangled. He uncradled it. He said, "Castle of Joy, what's your desire?" "Oh yeah, Angelo. She's here." "Hell no, she ain't, Dawson. She's on her way." He hung up and said, "Bitch, just slip your Benny on and get downtown to that head bellboy at the Franklin Arms. Dimples and the other girls are getting more action than they can turn. Take the key to the kitty and get there fast." The broad zipped out of there in less than 3 minutes. She sure liked getting her man some money. Those tricks at the Franklin were going to give their swipes a treat, all right. I thought, I gotta make the runt cultivate her cat like that broad's. He said, "That's a good young bitch I got there. I copped her in Hawaii a year ago. There are 20,000 white suckers in town for a convention. They got a double saw in one hand and their swipes in the other. Raydell ain't had no sleep in 36 hours. My other 4 whores been humping at the Franklin since early this morning. I can't miss a 5G score for the 3 days, even with Angelo's 30% off the top. Ain't but a C a day for a girl in oil for the heat." He got up and whistled our belts through the loops in our pants. He walked back and started to coil my belt around my arm just above the elbow hollow. "Look, Top, I'm not a square," I said, "but I ain't shooting no H. I'm game to bang some C. I've been curious to try it like that." He said, "Kid, I ain't squeezing your balls to hip you that after mink comes sable. Ain't nothing a greater blast than horse. It's your privilege to wake up slow if you want. Horse is what puts the ice in a pimp's game." He upended a cap of girl into the spoon and stuck an eyedropper into the fish tank. He pressed the bulb and drew the dropper full. He emptied it into the spoon. He held the yellow flame of a table lighter beneath the spoon and took a tiny wad of cotton from an ashtray. He tossed it into the bowl of the spoon and then wrapped a thin piece of cellophane around the tip of the dropper. He fitted the needle on it. He stuck the hollow end of the needle into the cotton and drew the dropper full. I felt my blood smashing against the tight coils of the belt. I saw the veins balloon in the throbbing hollow. I smelled the sharp, sickly, sweet odor of the cocaine. My palms were dripping sweat. He had the spike in his right hand. He grabbed my forearm with his left hand. I turned my head and closed my eyes. I bit down on my bottom lip, waiting for the stabbing plunge of the needle. He said, "Damn, you got some beautiful lines." I shivered when he daggered it in. I opened my eyes and looked. My blood had shot up into the dropper. He was pressing the bulb. I saw the blood-streaked liquid draining into me. It was like a ton of nitro exploded inside me. My ticker went berserk. I could feel it clawing up my throat. It was like I had a million swipes in every pore from head to toe. It was like they were all popping off together in a nerve-shredding climax. I was quivering like a joker in the hot seat at the first jolt. I tried to open my talc-dry mouth. I couldn't. I was paralyzed. I could feel a hot ball of puke racing up from my careening guts. I saw the green, stinking puke rope arch into the black mouth of the wastebasket. I could feel the cool metal against my chest. I saw Top's manicured fingers pressing it close to me. He was saying, "You'll be all right in a minute, kid. You thought I was bullshitting when I told you I had the best stuff in town." I still couldn't say anything. I felt like the top of my skull had been crushed in. It was like I had been blown apart, and all that was left were my eyes. Then tiny prickly feet of ecstasy started dancing through me. I heard melodious bells tolling softly inside my skull. I looked down at my hands and thighs. A thrill shot through me. Surely they were the most beautiful in the universe. I felt a Superman's surge of power. I thought, it was a cinch that any stud as beautiful and clever as me would become the greatest pimp in history. What bitch could resist me? I turned and stared at the ugly stud beside me. He said, "Did you hear those chapel bells? Ain't they a bitch, kid?" "Yeah, man, I heard them loud and clear. Right now I'd like to see the bitch I couldn't make. It's sure wild to bang girl. The only time I'll snort after this is when I'm in the street between bangs." He said, "Blood, you sure know what to say. Just don't forget where to cop. The more you buy, the cheaper I'll make it. I love you, Blood. We gonna be tight." He had a time trying to bang himself. He was only around 32, but most of his veins had folded. He finally hit payday in his inner right thigh. He kept the needle in, pumping the horse into the vein, then drawing it out. I said, "Jack, why the hell do you screw around like that?" He said, "Man, you ain't hip. That's where the thrill is. When I jack this joint off, the horse kicks my ass groovy." I lost tally of time when we sat on the sofa and banged stuff. After the second cap, I started banging myself. After that first bang, the thrill wasn't as good and sharp. Top was coasting. There were three caps of H still on the tabletop. There was no girl. I had banged five caps of girl. I looked at my Mickey. It was 5 a.m. I went to my clothes and started to dress. My ticker was speeding inside my frosty chest. I said, "Top, I got a split. I want a 16th of girl and a can of reefer. Here's a C-note and 20 slats." He pulled up from the sofa. He took the scratch and went into a bedroom. He came out and handed me a tobacco can sealed with rubber bands. He said, "Kid, I put a couple of yellows in your bag so you can come down and get some DOS." "Where you padding?" You don't want to walk through the street with that package of sizzle on you. I'll call a cab. I said, thanks, Top. I'm padding at the Blue Haven, but my wheels are just around the corner across from the Roost. I'll hoof it there. The fresh air will be a kick. I stood at the living room doorway to the entrance hall. He was uncapping a thing of horse. I thought, now's the time to crack on him to sew up the cut into Sweet. I gotta phrase it right. This joker envies Sweet. I said, Top, I was thinking how much more common sense and cool you got than your pal Sweet. His hands froze. His eyes beat his mouth to the question. I knew Preston hadn't told him about my clash with Sweet. I guess Preston's chicken act had blocked Sweet out of his mind. Top said, you know Sweet personally? I met him last night in the Roost. That tall blonde of his wanted me to freak off with her. Sweet offered me a double saw to do the job. I stood on pimp principle and turned him down. He flipped his cork. He forced me to split. He told me he'd blow my head through the ceiling. I figured he might do it. I guess now I have blown my chance to get acquainted with him. I don't suppose anybody in town is strong enough with him to square me and cut me into him. As foxy as you are, Top, I wouldn't be shocked if you couldn't cut it. After all, a man is complicated. Come to think about it, Top, I don't have a real need to meet him since I met you. My main reason now is I don't want a crazy enemy like that. So if you tell me it's over your head, I'll forget it, stay out of his way, and take my chances. I love you, Top, and I wouldn't want anything to happen to you on my account. He gobbled it up raw and whole. He flung his girlish head back and roiled off the sofa to the floor. He held his elbows against his belly and laughed like I told the funniest joke human ears had ever heard. He was gasping when he finally stopped. He patted his mop.
Sweet ain't dangerous, sucker, he began. He ain't never croaked anything but yellow niggas. He's croaked four of them in the last 20 years. He ain't croaked nobody in over 2 years. He's 90% bull scare. He don't kill nobody unless they badmouth him or muscle his horse. But he sure hates white folks. He pimps awful tough on white horse. When he puts his foot in their asses, he's really doing it to the white man. He says he's paying them back for what they done and are doing to black people. His brain is rotted from hate. Shit, he probably wouldn't know you if he saw you again. He wasn't salty with you for turning down the freak off. He was playing strong con on his white horse. He's got his horse thinking he's God. Even a square from Delaware should know God ain't gonna kick your ass when you tell him no, you poor boob. I tell you what, I gotta take him some stuff this weekend. I'll buzz your crib to let you know just when. I'll stop on the way and pick you up. I'll take you with me to his pad. He ain't nothing but a big, ugly nigga with a filthy, loud mouth. I said, I pad in 420 under the name Lancaster. Top, you gotta overlook my dumbness. I told you I was just a kid in the darkness, needing some brains to light the way. Top, I sure appreciate your coat pulling. See you later, pal. He said, all right, kid, keep that sizzle in your mitt so you can down it in a hurry. Oh, yeah, you can cop a spike at any drugstore. You got a crack for insulin with it. I walked into the entrance hall. I flicked my sponge across my greasy face in the silver mirror. I went out the door to the elevator. It opened on the ground floor. I flinched before the stark morning light. Out on the sidewalk, I saw Glass Top's red hog pulling to the curb. It was his five horses back from the Franklin Arms salt mines. I thought as I walked to the Ford, how about it? Those five horses are probably checking in a couple of grand for a night's work. Why couldn't it be me up there in that crazy pad with my mitt out for all those frog skins? The night people had vanished from the street. Knots of squares on the way to work bunched at the streetcar stops.
I got in the Ford and U-toured toward the Haven. I saw an all-night drugstore and pulled into the parking lot. I copped a Saul Buck pair of binoculars, and at the drug counter, I got the insulin and copped spikes and eyedroppers. 5 minutes later, I got to the Haven. I parked on the street. I glanced up at our apartment window. I saw the drapes flutter. I got a flash of the runt's dark face pulling back. I walked through the lobby to the elevator. The joint sure looked shabby after Top's joint. I thought as I got on the elevator, if the runt is shitty and tries to third degree me this morning, I'll bury my foot in her ass. I got off on the fourth floor. I walked down the hall to 420. I slid the rubber bands off the top of the tobacco can. I opened the top and took my packet of girl out. It was wrapped in tin foil inside a penny balloon. I shoved it into my watch pocket. I took a yellow from the top of the loose reefer and dry swallowed it. I knocked on the door. I waited a full minute. I knocked again, harder. Finally, the runt opened it. She was stretching and massaging her eyes with her fists, conning me that she had been fast asleep. She jumped into bed. She turned her back and pulled the covers to her ears. I put the can of reefer on the dresser. I saw a tiny pile of bills on it. I heeled them apart. It was only 40 slats. I went to the closet and checked the toes of the tan Stetsons. Empty. I stashed the binoculars in a coat pocket with my C and Bang outfit. I saw smoke spiraling from a cigarette lying on the base of the plaster copy of The Kiss near the front window. I said,
"Bitch, what did you do, break your leg? Or knock off as soon as you saw me split? Is this tonight's take? Turn over so I can see that black mug of yours."
I was standing at the side of the bed. My right hand was resting on the closed plastic lid of the record player. The tips of my fingers were touching the back of it near the motor. It was warm. I raised the lid. Lady Day's whimper about that mean man was on the turntable. The runt turned slowly. I looked down into her face. Her eyes were narrow. Her jib was puffed out. She and Lady Day had been dragging me through the mud all night. The whore was acting like an outraged housewife. She said,
"Ain't I never gonna be nothing but a bitch to you? Call me Phyllis the whore or runt the fool. You'd never believe it, but I'm human. That scratch I made tonight ain't bad. These streets are new to me. I gotta feel my way and get hip to the tricks."
That cocaine was blowing a frosty blizzard through my skull. I said,
"Bitch, when your funky black ass is in the grave, you'll still be a bitch. Bitch, one of these nights you're gonna shoot your jib off. I'll curtsy and call you runt the corpse. You stinking bitch, I'm hip, you're human. You're a human black slop bucket for those Peckerwood swipes. You gutless idiot, I'm gonna throw you out of that window if you don't get the kinks out of your ass and hustle up some real scratch. Don't get hip to the tricks, bitch. Get hit to what I'm rapping. If you don't stop your bullshit, I'm gonna kick your heart out and stomp on it. Now don't crack your jib unless I rap to you, bitch."
I started to take my clothes off. She just lay there staring at me. Her eyes were gleaming like a crazy voodoo doctor's. I got into bed. I turned my back to her. I could feel the freak inching toward me. She stroked the back of my neck. I felt the hot tip of the lizard on the back of my neck. I felt the scab on her brow scrape the tip of my ear. I pulled away toward the edge of the bed. She said,
"Daddy, I'm sorry I bugged you. I love you. Please forgive me."
The bed creaked when I rattlesnaked to strike. I hooked my right heel under the bed springs. I raised myself on my right elbow. I drew my ved left arm back, so the back of my left fist touched my right cheek. I grunted for velocity and blackjacked my left elbow into a gut button. She groaned and wrapped and unwrapped her legs. She chattered her teeth like she was freezing to death. I could feel that yellow drawing a heavy black curtain inside my dome. Just before I went under, I thought, I wonder if the runt can lug 150 pounds to that window.